This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
To 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Evan Giddings, Dan Devone, and Warriors this week. And what a week it was, with Golden State Warriors go 3-1 on the new Jimmy Butler era. And there's a lot of optimism as we get ready for the second half of the season. And in the last 27 games of the year, the Warriors are going to make a push to try and get out of the play-in tournament. Get into the play-in tournament, I guess, is sort of an achievement when you think about how dire things were about a month ago at this time. It was a team that I was suggesting should head in the other direction and get a single draft pick, like get a single-digit draft pick that should be about the future. It'll be interesting to see where Cooper Flagg ends up. I hope it's not Charlotte, but we can get into that conversation.
Probably Utah. Well.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I don't know. I mean, shoot, the Atlanta Hawks were the 10 seed last year, played in the play-in game, somehow won the lottery, and ended up with that random Frenchman that Rishier.
He's terrible.
Well, the Hawks can score. That's about all they can do.
It's been a terrible. You know what might turn out to be Donovan Kling in the second half of the season might be the best player in that draft.
Well, I know you like them too.
It's because DeAndre Ayton's out, so Klingon's now got an opportunity to shine.
Oh, that name reminds me. That's actually who I thought that Mark Williams was, regardless of the injuries. Like, I think that there's this understandable, like, I don't know, just fixation on centers that can play because there's so few of them, and the elite ones are obviously coveted. But it's like anytime a center shows any sort of promise at a young age, well, they're the hot thing. And I just feel like DeAndre Ayton was that for the Phoenix Suns, and they made an NBA Finals, and he's had some success, but it's like now he's just another toy because he's not that young anymore, and people realize that he doesn't play defense, he's not that efficient of an offensive player, and to me, even if he could stay healthy, that's kind of where Mark Williams was headed.
Well, I think Donovan Klingon's ready to fill his shoes in a good way.
Well, yeah, because he doesn't need the ball, and he plays defense, and he plays hard, and he does everything that you need from a modern center. Like, I know that the Warriors and a lot of their fans have always asked for this big man, right? I think that's why also there's a lot of affinity for Quentin Post, because he's finally someone that can step out and hit a three. But you don't necessarily need that. The Warriors have won championships with a bunch of centers that may not even be starters on other teams.
Yeah, but the league continues to evolve. And the thing about Quentin Post, he was really good, but if you're wondering why he gets taken off the floor, teams go at him defensively. Like, you can extend on the offensive end and be a stretch five, but can you extend on the defensive end and still be effective, or at least hold your own? Like, that's where it really, and teams realize that they could exploit him a little bit. And the reason why I don't think you saw him as frequently as maybe you you know, when he first came onto the scene a couple of weeks back. And well, I think teams are beginning to figure that out.
Yeah, I do think it's interesting. And look, he's a rookie, you know, and I think he's being asked to do a lot, perhaps too soon. But I think it's interesting that his biggest, best games...
Chicago.
They've come against crap teams or undermanned teams. Teams that aren't going to test you or test him defensively. Like, I actually think he kind of got, I don't want to say bailed out, but the game on Wednesday, it wasn't just Buddy Hield that was terrible defensively. Like, Quentin Post got played off the floor, but because Hield got more run and shouldn't have been in the game as long as he was, you kind of lost track of the fact that the Warriors, they didn't just have Hield getting beat on the perimeter, but Post just couldn't keep anybody out of the paint. And I think he's a good player, and he's got to continue to play to get better, but he does make them vulnerable defensively. And, you know, it's again, it's like there's kind of a, there's still that damned if you do, damned if you don't part of the Warriors where they got better in some places at the deadline, they got worse in other areas, and now it's about how they can try and cover up more of their weaknesses and accentuate their strengths.
It's going to be, once again, I think, coming down to Kevon Looney being your guy.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he's, as much as that guy gets overlooked, the minute, you know, that guy was DMP'd at one point, as many times as they go in another direction, he just, you know, bides his time, keeps his nose clean, and whenever you call his number, there he is. And,
or Draymond playing more of the center position. I mean, that might, I think that's going to end up being the answer for them in closing lineups. Like, at full strength, what do you think the Warriors' best five is? What do you think they should close games with?
Well, Steph, Pajemski, Butler. Yeah, and Draymond, and then Kuminga?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's the best
five. Who the hell's shooting for you, though?
And there lies the question. You know, that's my point. It's... like, I think that is their best five. I think you're right. But that also, they also have some holes. You know, how are they going to generate offense? Is it going to be strictly in the post? Is it going to be, you know, Curry running off of three different screens to get open? I think it makes them better defensively, which also might be able to get them out in transition. But, you know, maybe they might not run as much because that's an older line. I don't know. Like, they're going to have to figure this thing out. And more importantly, Steve Kerr is going to have to figure this thing out. And I don't know, like, I haven't been super critical of Kerr this year, but to me, with a year left on his deal after this, in many ways, I think we're going to find out if Kerr is... like, I think if this thing goes off the rails for some reason, like, if the Warriors don't make the playoffs somehow, some way, I think there is a very real possibility that Kerr does not return as the head coach.
Well, I tell you what, Steve Kerr, in that game against Houston... why the hell he hung on to that lineup when Houston was making that run and closed it within a bucket, and he was still he still had Pajemski, Guy Santos, Buddy Hield, Spencer was out there, and he was resting everybody. It was just like, how much longer are you going to do this? And I get it. It's like, you know, it was a back-to-back, and that's the other thing is that,
yep,
the load management of these guys is a real thing, which is why I think, I know they got to jump a lot of teams, but for the Warriors specifically, not having to play extra games and avoiding that play-in tournament, it could be crucial if you want to make a serious run.
And they're going to fill out the rest of their roster. I think there was a limit on the guys that they could have. Like, they had to have 12 up until a certain time. It might have even been the All-Star break. But, like, they just signed Kevin Knox from their G League squad in Santa Cruz to the team. He's going to fill out the back end of the roster. I don't know how many of these guys are going to, you know, play big minutes with their full strength, but you're right. You're going to have to still load manage your older players, or, you know, God forbid, Jimmy rolls an ankle and goes down for a week. That's something that also, I don't know if it's going to happen this year because he hasn't played much basketball, so he's still fresh, but Jimmy Butler only averaged like 56 regular season games his time in Miami. Like, he's kind of been known to take regular seasons off. So those depth pieces that are now depleted because you traded away, as much as I didn't think these guys were incredible this season, Dennis Schroeder, he can play 35 minutes if you need him to. Kyle Anderson was a guy that could come off the bench and give you 15, 20 minutes if you're depleted. Even Lindy Waters III was somebody who I was kind of a throwaway piece of the deal. And obviously Andrew Wiggins, who can play 35 minutes back-to-back games and has kind of been an Iron Man. You know, you traded away four guys that gave you depth. And if Butler or Curry or Draymond or, God forbid, all three are going to miss time at any point for the rest of this season, you're not really left with much.
I think it's important, just like any other big trade, is that you just let this breathe a little bit. And I know we live in the here and now, but we really have to see what this looks like over the next month. And just it's difficult to assess. I know it's all feel good right now. There's optimism, so you'll take it. They certainly look like a better team with Jimmy Butler, but sometimes there's another shoe that's going to drop. And it doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to be the end of the Warriors or it's not going to work, but you just have to see. You know, it's sort of like when I was a young man and you go on a date with a young lady. And everybody is flirtatious at first, and everybody puts their best foot forward initially. Everybody's just in this good mood, and they're talking about how, you know, they're trying to be funny. And then after a while, if there's, you know, a connection, I'd usually say 6 to 8 months, you begin to see maybe, you know, they have a little temper tantrum. Ooh, didn't see that the first couple of months. Suddenly begin to realize, you know, what sort of person they are in terms of patience or impatience, and the honeymoon is over, and you're like, oh, okay. That's who you are. It's not necessarily like, I can't deal with you. I don't want to talk to you again. It's just like, now I have a better understanding of who you are. And like, yeah, let's do this together. Or, you know, I don't know if this is going to be a good fit. But right now, we're clearly in the honeymoon with Jimmy Butler. And I think we all need to sort of remind ourselves.
Yeah, they're in.
Did you like the analogy?
Well, I was going to take it a step further. they're in the bunny phase. they're in the bunny's phase right now.
Oh,
the Warriors are doing a lot of fornicating. All right, they're having some fun together. But
you did take it a step further. Go ahead.
What happens when that lust wears off? We're gonna find out. And that's also too why the trade was absolutely necessary, and you had to make it because this team was going nowhere. And the moves in the bedroom were pretty stale, right? You needed to switch things up a bit. You had to find a new partner, and Jimmy Butler is that guy. So the Warriors are must watch.
Can we keep this PG rated?
What?
Can we do the analogy and just talk about dating without going straight up porn?
I didn't take it there. You know, Daniel, you got to be able to mask some things, and I would expect you as a savvy veteran to understand the delicacies of conversation. The point is, the Warriors right now, you want to continue to watch them every single night, because I also think that they're in the process of figuring out what this looks like. I think they have an identity now, and that's important, but they don't yet truly know what their ceiling is. And I think that's what's exciting for a lot of the fans, is that you could envision them being a team. I've heard Western Conference Finals this week. I've heard play-in, you know, realistically or kind of pragmatic. We're still a play-in team. But the point is, there's a spectrum. We're back to talking about basketball. We're back to talking about things on the floor that lead to wins and losses. We're not discussing, should they trade Steph? We're not discussing what moves are they going to make this summer. We're not discussing the finances and the aprons and all the big picture macro end of the world scenarios that we were inevitably going to get into for the last 2 months of this season if they did not make a trade. So that's what I like more than anything else about the Butler acquisition, is that we're back to talking basketball with the Golden State Warriors, which is what we should have been in the first place. But because of how mediocre they were for like 2 months, it was hard to even wrap your mind around it.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's exciting again, and they're relevant again. And you're right. It may not work out. But at least we're talking about this team being better, and we're talking about games. We're talking about scenarios where they catch the Clippers. Can they pick up the 3.5 games? The level of optimism, which has been so void, especially at these shows over the last 2 months, is welcomed. And no matter what happens going forward, yeah, you're right. We're talking hoops again, and we're all in on it. I mean, we're so accustomed to, and they've been so synonymous with winning for so long,
That is just awkward the last 2 months. It's like, what the hell is this? We don't really know how to swallow that.
No, and I don't think that it's all of a sudden like, hey, they're, you know, they're back to winning a championship. But again, it's like they have... Like, I thought the reaction, because I did post-game on Wednesday to the Mavericks loss, I thought the reaction was really telling. Because people were passionate, and that was, you know, that was a big loss. Like, it dropped you to 500. It was a game against an undermanned team without six of their rotation pieces. But people were back, instead of being like, oh, well, I knew they were going to blew it, or, you know, I know that the Warriors are this kind of team. It's, no, people were disappointed. And I think they were disappointed because there's a set level of expectation, or there's been a reset of expectation for this team. Like, if I was to ask you what you expect from this group, yeah, you could say, well, you know, we're going to see, but, like, could you see this team winning a playoff series?
Sure.
I could, too. I could not say that before. And it's as much about Curry having help as it is Jimmy Butler just being a dude for this team. But, you know, I think the Warriors, and I also think that this weekend kind of made the trade important as well. Because imagine what all the questions were going to be for, like, Draymond right now is, I think they're practicing, but Draymond had press availability this morning. Buddy Hield was talking about the three-point contest with Chibano. Steph is going to be talking about a myriad of things at his press availability. What would those questions have been if the Warriors did not make a move at the deadline?
Yeah.
I mean, they would be trying to put a fire out to this existential crisis that Warriors fans would be freaking out about. And instead, it's, you know, you like Jimmy, or, you know, they're talking about fun stuff. Draymond's being asked about who he likes in one-on-ones. You know, Chivano's being asked about breaking out of his slump. I don't know. Steph's going to be talking about the weekend and in his court and, you know, the Acropolis that's Chase Center. They're talking about fun things. They're not talking about dreadful stuff.
The Acropolis that is his court. My God.
You're welcome.
The depth on you. My God.
sorry.
What was your major again?
Double. I majored in economics and rhetoric.
Do you know your Greek history relatively well?
Unfortunately, yes.
Oh, okay.
That had beaten into me, bludgeoned with a self-flagellating strap like the one from the Da Vinci Code.
Are you going back to porn again? What are we doing?
No. You remember the albino in the Da Vinci Code?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he basically beat himself with a striped belt and just whip himself every single night. Yeah, it's self-flagellation.
Just getting back to the Warriors, if you don't mind.
I don't.
This is, again, I go back to the Western Conference, which is very peculiar this year because Boston does not play, obviously, in the West. There is not a seasoned team, even the Denver Nuggets. If you were to tell me the Denver Nuggets were to pick up where they left off of a couple of years ago when they won the NBA championship and they're running away and hiding with everybody, I'd be saying that's a tough team to beat. But they've obviously got holes and they've got warts this year. I'm not getting my head into the clouds. I'm hopefully keeping 2 feet, you know, firmly planted, terra firma here. But there is a sense of, and I don't think the Warriors even want to entertain this or think about it, because you got to take care of what's on your plate. What's on your plate is just, you know, get to the damn play-in tournament. But the Thunder again, the Grizzlies, the Rockets, teams that are in front of them, that are at the top tier, the very best of the Western Conference, are not experienced. And the Warriors, they have that advantage over all of those teams, and that is really significant. Maybe not as much in baseball or the NFL, but in basketball, it is proven year in and year out. You'll take experience because experience has been proven that you can move, you can advance. And so the idea of the Thunder in the first round, a team they've been able to handle during the regular season, yeah. The Thunder are a better team, and the Thunder may, you know, turn it up and could be that team that could run away and hide as they have from everybody when you look at their one-loss record. But I just think that you got to give teams like the Lakers, the Warriors, even Minnesota, and Dallas, as I mentioned, who's had OKC's number, a puncher's chance. And I think more than anything else, is that what should give the Warrior fans and Dub Nation optimism is not only Jimmy Butler, but the fact that you're playing well, and then when you look at the top of the Western Conference, there is a real scenario where you could beat OKC and get to a finals, and or as ridiculous as it might sound, get to an NBA championship. Because I think that could be a likely scenario, and maybe it's not the Warriors, but if it's the Lakers, if it's Minnesota, if it's, you know, one of these teams that are sort of on the lower rung of the ladder in the Western Conference, is not going to surprise me at all this year specifically.
No, and I think the postseason, look, they're going to need some help, you know, and it might be catching OKC. I don't know if Chet gets hurt again. You know, that's a different conversation. How does he respond? And how are they able to sort of, because they haven't really had him and Hartenstein.
Oh, they're so good together too.
Well, but they haven't had them together for that long. They look like they play well together, but my point is, you know, maybe that's something that takes a little bit of time to figure out with the rest of their rotation. I don't think it's that big of an issue. I mean, they allow 105 points a game. It's just ridiculous. But you're right. There are teams that the Warriors definitely have advantages over in the experience department. I just wonder if they have enough talent. And that's why I think they made the Butler trade more than anything else, is because they were devoid of talent. They don't have guys that could match up with other players. And, you know, Jimmy also has a track record of helping lower-seeded teams go deep in the playoffs. But you look at the most recent run in 2023, and this is where I hear you. Like, experience does matter, but also catching a break can be the catalyst to you making a deep run. Why were the Heat able to get to the finals? When they lost to the Nuggets, well, in the first round, Giannis got hurt. You know, that was a Bucks team that then they could get over the top of. I mean, you caught a Boston team that wasn't yet ready to win. That's why they went out and made the move for Kristaps and for Jrue Holiday. They recognized that Marcus Smart was not going to be a guy that could get them over the hump. Like, the Warriors are going to have to catch some teams in tough spots, I think, in order to win, because I still see some holes. But again, it's they got action, and they did not have action before. You know, and the West is just, it's a bear, man. I mean, I'm looking up and down to the Eastern Conference, and it's like, my God, the Warriors right now would be sitting pretty in sixth place, looking at a potential first-round matchup with the Pacers. It's like, give me that 7 days a week.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't want any part of the East, though.
What?
No.
Well, not the top. Not
well,
the
that's
top
what I
two.
Mean. You're not coming out of the East. Yeah, you could even get to the you may get to the finals, but no one's beaten Boston. Whereas in the West,
because of the parity.
Well, no, it's just Boston's simply better than anybody. They're going to beat Cleveland.
I agree with that. Yeah,
Boston is just clearly the best team in the NBA. So in the West, you've got a puncher's chance unless you really buy into OKC. And until OKC does it when it counts, and as AI said, when your butt cheeks get tight, can you be a good basketball team? you know, until they do that, I'm still saying that door's ajar, man. Whereas in the East, it's like, yeah, beat the Pacers, but you know who's lurking, and you can't beat the Celtics.
Do you think there's something to Curry having a little bit of like a mini resurgence after the Butler trade? Do you think it was just because he's got like more energy, or do you see something? I mean, we can talk about this on the other side too. Something stylistically different about this team, or do you think he just got a second win?
Well, I still see him drawing the double teams, and you know, I don't see anything schematically. I just think he's re-energized. He just, you know, through the, especially when you get to the dog days, which usually just about before the All-Star break, you know, you lose that energy, and I think he was revitalized with Jimmy Butler. But I'm curious to what it is that you have to say, and we'll find out what it is. The young man, Evan Giddings, by the way, where are we going tonight? I text my man, Lucas, the president around here, El Prez. He's got nothing for us.
No, he doesn't. See, this is, all right, I know that you were locked up last night and had a nice evening. Last night was the night, dude. I mean, I was out and about.
Yeah.
I was at the Cigar Lounge. Well, Jared McCain let me down. I was told he'd be able to get us into a Jordan party, so there was an Adidas thing that we had to substitute
Jordan
for.
In town? No.
No, just a Jordan brand. He's a Jordan athlete, So they had a Jordan brand thing. What I heard, actually, is apparently the Hennessy parties are where it's at. So one of the nightclubs downtown, I guess, had this underground sort of disco setup.
That's what we need, is the underground, intimate, not too much headbanging. I want to be able to hear who it is that I'm talking to. I want to hear myself talk.
You know? Yeah, the speakeasies are much more, I think, of a fun time than like the big, I don't know, the big dance floor, big DJ, club and music. Yeah. Get me out of there.
Jesus. You're like 30 going on 65. You're hilarious. All right, young fella. When we continue, I want you to tell me what it is that you see in Steph Curry going forward. Is this the guy that's going to lead the way? Are they taking him to the promised land? Is it still Steph's world? Or is it all about the new kid, Jimmy Butler? Evan Giddings, Stan Avone, 95.7 The Game. We'll continue after this.
Championship coming soon.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Now,
to Stein. Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Welcome in, Evan Giddings and Dan Devone. We are, a little more than 24 hours out from the All-Star Game tomorrow night. 5 o'clock is the tip as the new format gets underway. We've talked about this throughout, something that you're not necessarily on board with.
Well, it's not that I'm not on board with it. I guess I'm just glass half empty about it changing anything. Like, I think it's going to be a different version of the same thing. And that's players not competing. I mean, at the very least, though, I think that the format will help because if a team is disinterested or, you know, they're breaking a sweat, at the very least, they got to get off the court. Like, at the very least, bring in another team that's willing to play at potentially a different speed. I also like the fact that they clearly set up the teams to have different themes to them. There's the older team, there's kind of the international squad, and then there's the young guys along with the G Leaguers. So I like that aspect of it because I think that while the draft was interesting a couple of years ago, while they tried to, you know, sort of set up this idea you could play against your teammate in the All-Star game, I think pairing peers together, I'm hoping can help this thing.
I think the rising stars are really sort of where it all begins and ends with. If those guys bring the intensity, then it's going to change the entire outlook of this weekend, of this game going forward. And I think it's up to them. It's up to them to sort of, and not, hopefully nobody has to drill this into them. Or maybe they do. Maybe it's the best thing. I think Candace Parker is coaching them tonight or tomorrow night. But I think the best thing that they could do is seriously.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Molly. And I don't know if he thought his team was going to make it to Sunday, but Candace Parker will be taking over the reins.
Yeah. But I think if Candace Parker just says, hey, in all seriousness, TJD and Stephon Castle, yeah, I want you to D up on these boys. Like, win this damn thing. Because, not to get overly dramatic about this, but if I'm a young player, and this might be the biggest game I've ever played in, I've never been on a stage like this, I mean, I could sort of set myself up. Like, maybe somebody's out there that's going to want to trade for me. Maybe this is something that could benefit my career. I am not mailing this thing in if I'm a rising star. And listen, these guys are not NBA All-Stars, and they have no business of being on the same court as LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, Jalen Brunson, all of these Giannis and all these stars. But they are, Ev, at the end of the day, NBA basketball players. And if they want to bring it, then they could surprise some people. And I hope that they get out to they run out to a quick lead where suddenly, you know, all of a sudden you see the All-Stars feeling as though they got to put it into another gear.
You're making Candace Parker out to sound like she's going to be Gene Hackman and Hoosiers. They lace their shoes up the same way that we do.
The swinging gate, baby.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Don't get caught watching the paint dry.
I don't know. I also think it's... Like, yes, they may take the game seriously, but at the end of the day, if the best players don't take the game seriously, it doesn't mean much. Let's say even that... And I don't think it's going to happen. But let's say the Rising Stars team wins this entire thing. That devalues the All-Star game. That makes it more of a joke. If the young players
process that
are rookies and sophomores rise up and beat LeBron and Durant, why am I watching this thing? Why am I watching the best players if they're just going to lose to Trayce Jackson-Davis, who's getting DNPs left and right?
I think you're no. You got it wrong. Think about this.
Talk to me.
If the rising star, a bunch of kids in the NBA that have potential, Stephon Castle is a good young basketball player. We've seen what Trayce Jackson-Davis can do. I like Zach Edey. You hate the guy.
Yep.
If these guys knock off in the semifinals an NBA All-Star team led by LeBron James and company, it's going to be like, it's going to be like the biggest Cinderella in the history of the NBA.
Oh, my God.
And the momentum and the interest and the overall excitement that there's going to be generated for an NBA All-Star game to see this band of kids to see if they can take home the whole enchilada is going to be like unlike anything else we've ever experienced when it comes to this game.
I think it's going to be a massive embarrassment for the older players. To the point, Dan, since we're taking it as far as...
It's going to be like Appalachia State upsetting the University of Michigan in football.
Yeah, I mean, this ain't... Well, you're making it out to be Chaminade beating Virginia.
Ralph Sampson.
Yeah, which is not the case at all, because Virginia has no incentive in this particular game to win. I don't know, maybe there's a wink-wink deal and they're doing them a favor so they can get these guys some cash. But to me, it would be an embarrassment for the NBA if the Rising Stars team finds a way to win this thing. Or even wins a game. The entire purpose of this entire All-Star format, I believe, is to set up the OGs, the superstars of yesteryear, against either the young international studs or against the, you know, up-and-comers, the young all-stars. It's supposed to be a generational battle. Like, that to me is what the final's supposed to be. So if the Rising Stars beat Curry, Durant, LeBron, why would I even watch the final?
You know what they're missing is that international component.
Well, I'm going to be there, which is, you know.
If one of the teams was just of international stars.
Well, they are. The... Chuck's team, I think,
is all international.
Well, that's like the theme of it. You know, it's SGA, it's Jokic, it's Giannis, it's Doncic. Yeah, the international team, which I actually think is going to be the team that wins it.
Hockey's got it right.
How so?
Well, their midseason tournament right now, where it's Canada versus the United States and the Swedes and the Finns. They're out for blood, bro. It's a real deal.
Well, but it's more of an international sport.
Yeah, I know. You can only do it in hockey. I get it. But there's buy-in, man. There's national pride. They play that Finnish national anthem before the game, the Canadian national anthem, and people are singing that thing in unison, holding hands.
Which is also why people don't watch hockey. Like, as much as I do love international sports, it's really hard to get on board with, because as an American, you're beaten with this stick of we're the best. It's ingrained in your brain that we're supposed to be number one with everything. That's why people don't watch the men's side of the World Cup, or at least they do until the Americans get bounced inevitably. Now, soccer fans watch everything, but as a spectator, like, I don't care, because I know America is probably not going to win in hockey. I know America is probably not going to win, or certainly is not going to win at all in soccer. And if the international stars come in and wipe the floor with the Americans this year, you better watch out. There might be a revolution at Chase Center.
There's something about, yes, there's regional pride. Like, you want to see the Warriors win. You want to see the Pac-12 do well. But
they're dead.
On a whole, well, I mean, back in the day, just, you know, sometimes there's just that, you know, the regional, wherever it is that your team is located, or the Warriors, the Bay Area, represent Chicago, Midwest, what have you. But it's on a whole different plateau and a different level when you're talking about representing a country, especially a country that, you know, that's not considered a global power like that of the United States, both in every way, from a economic standpoint, military, however it is that you judge who's a powerful country and who's not. And then it's your one moment to be that, to have that opportunity to create that nationalism and pride. It's games with that on the line. The intensity is entirely different, man.
No, I agree, but I guess, and look, I hope you're right. I hope that something happens tomorrow that can bring legitimacy back to the NBA All-Star game. I guess I'm not convinced that we're going to look at the finals of Sunday's matchup between whoever it is as like this gold medal match.
No, it's not that, but just, we just need some buy-in.
I think you're right. I think it is going to be from the young players, but I guess I don't think it's going to be from the Rising Stars. I think it's either going to be the international team, or I believe the, you know, Kenny's kids or whatever, Kenny the Jet Smith's team, all the young guys. That's got to be the team that takes it to people. That it has to be on the younger generation to legitimize the All-Star game. The old heads are done playing hard in those games. I'm sorry. Like, I was looking at Steph Curry's first All-Star game, 2014. The oldest player wasn't a starter. The starters for the West that year, it was Steph, Blake Griffin, James Harden, Kevin Durant, and I forget the fifth. But, like, all of those guys were in their 20s. On the East side, it was LeBron, who was, gosh, you know, halfway through his career at that point. And really the only two old heads were, LaMarcus Aldridge might have been the other one. But, like, Dirk Nowitzki was the elder statesman for the West. And in the East, I forget who the oldest player was. It might have been, like, Wade. But the oldest player was, like, 32 years old. You know, these guys are 36 and 37 now. And LeBron's 40. They ain't out there trying to bust their hump. This is their 20th All-Star game.
Yeah, it's a business trip. Like I said, they come out here and they meet with their sponsors and, you know, they shake hands and they do what it is that their agent has them leading, you know, tells them where it is that they need to be. But I would say this, that something is going to happen in the Rising Stars game. Something. I don't know what it is. I can't necessarily predict it, but there's going to be a moment.
You love Trace Jackson Davis.
No, not necessarily Trace Jackson Davis. Something's going to happen with Zach Edey. I don't know why. I just, there's going to be, Zach Edey's going to accidentally throw a bow.
Oh, God.
Or he's just going to, like, he's going to turn. You know, there's that, I know you love Rocky, right?
All
you
of
love
them.
Sylvester Stallone.
Bigger fan of Creed, but Rocky's good.
And Rocky 1, I will give you. So Rocky 1 was, you know, that's, that was the movie. And so there's that one scene where in the whole premise behind, I think a lot of people forget, he's a million to one shot, and so they're doing this in the bicentennial, so it's 1976.
Yeah.
And so they, originally Apollo Creed has this one boxer that bowed out because of an injury, so the promoter's like, okay, well, what do? We can't find somebody in 3 weeks. So they come up, the promoter comes up with this idea. He's like, you know what? I got it. I think it was Apollo Creed that comes up with the idea. In this, the year of the bicentennial, in the land of opportunity, let's give an unknown a shot. Let's find somebody that's a million to one shot at an opportunity to win the heavyweight championship, which used to mean something back in the day. And that guy happened to be Rocky Balboa. And so there's that one scene where Apollo Creed, being a businessman's a suit and tie, and he's talking about, you know, the revenue that they're going to make and merchandise they're going to sell. And meanwhile, his trainer is watching Rocky on television after he was hitting the meat. And he's saying, hey, champ, you need to come see this guy. You need to come see this guy. He's like, this guy is taking it serious. And Apollo's like, yeah, whatever. I'm taking it serious, too. And then his trainer, I know I'm going a long way. Just stay with me here. His trainer says, this guy, oh, during the fight, he says, this guy doesn't know it's a damn show. Because it's just supposed to be entertainment, bicentennial, you're going to beat him regardless. He thinks it's a damn fight. He's trying to beat you. He doesn't know that this is just about entertainment. And that needs to be played back for the Rising Stars, who don't know that this is just a business trip. They think it's a damn game.
You heard it here first on 95.7 The Game. The Rising Stars team on Sunday is Rocky Balboa. And the old heads...
I know you're producing, but can we get the theme?
Shaq's team is Apollo Creed. Now, you might be right that this one-in-a-million shot in the bicentennial, I don't know, soliloquy you got there, is going to give them a run for their money. But you do know how the movie ends.
Well, Rocky won, yeah.
Yeah. Still, he loses.
It's a hell of a fight.
Yeah, it's a hell of a fight, but... what was on the line? The heavyweight championship of the world. What is on the line on Sunday?
Pride.
Not even!
But here's the thing that you're misunderstanding. I don't think that you're fully gathering is that why are these guys all-stars? And I get it. It's just like, hey, man, let's just have a good time, get on my private jet, and go back to my respective city.
Because there's a K-pop artist who got a bunch of votes.
But here it is, Ev. Huh. They're all competitors. And whether they want to admit that or not, once you poke that bear in the ribs, and even though they're like, hey, man, come on. Once Zach Edey accidentally goes too hard on a foul with somebody going to the hoop, These guys are competitors at the end of the day, and be damned about everything else that we don't care. It's an all-star game, and I'm 35 years of age. They're going to want to beat the crap out of you. And I think that if that sleeping giant gets awakened, we got ourselves a game.
That sleeping giant's been dormant for like a decade. Nobody in this game gives an F. And the thing is, even if Zach Edey throws an inadvertent elbow and catches somebody in the jaw, you know what the response is going to be? It's not going to be, oh, you woke up the bear, young fella. It's going to be, young fella, what are you doing? What, like, why are you playing so hard in this game? You do know what this weekend is, right? It's a break. It's not an all-star weekend. It's not an all-star game. This is the NBA all-star break. 7 days between Thursday and the next time you actually have to play in a real basketball game. Young fella, put the bows away. And then Zach Edey's going to say, oh, well, I guess this is how it is. Because it's also the only time he's going to be an all-star because he stinks.
You know what they got to play for the Rising Stars? Not Rocky 1, but Rocky 2.
Oh, give me the Rocky 4 montage.
But the Rocky, was it Rocky 2 when Talia Shire, his wife, who was, what was his wife's name in the movie? I forget his wife's name, Rocky's wife in the movie.
Adrian?
Adrian. Adrian! When Adrian's in a coma and Rocky can't concentrate and Mick is trying to like, come on, we need to train, and he's just like, his attention's divided. He can't train for the Apollo Creed rematch. And she's in this coma. And then she comes out of it, and he's been sitting by her, you know, the bedside all this time. Thank you. And she says, her first words are, I have something to tell you. And he's like, what is it? Win. Win. And Burgess Meredith, Mick, looks at Rocky and says, what the hell are we waiting for? That needs to be played for the Rising Stars.
The best line in Rocky 1 is from Mickey, but it is not that line. It is the line.
When he's talking about the turtles?
Women weaken legs.
Oh, yes.
I hope you're right, Devon. I guess competition in All-Star Weekend, it's been beaten out of me. Beaten out of me like the body shots that Apollo Creed took from Rocky Balboa. A left to the ribs, a right to the liver. And maybe I've just dropped the canvas.
You know where that movie or where Sylvester Stallone got the idea from? Was a boxer by the name of Chuck Wepner.
That's right. Hold on real fast. There was a suggestion for the YouTube chat that we add a chicken chase to the skills challenge. That's pretty good.
Not bad. Did I see Buddy Hield's going to be in the three-point shooting contest?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Chavano's going to be out there. In fact, he's the betting favorite.
Oh, no.
No, he's not. Do you think he's got any chance tonight?
No.
Well, I have a bet with Granny that he's not going to make it out of the first round. Granny thinks he's going to advance. So I guess like the finals or something like that.
I hope he doesn't, because if he does, it's going to be, well, dude, where the hell's that been?
Well, I know you don't think about this. Like, it's an honor to be a part of the weekend, and it's in your hometown or hometown team, whatever. It's a lose-lose. If Buddy Hield goes up and bricks 18 threes, Warriors fans are going to be like, oh, my God, here we go. This is really going to get us juice for the last 27 games. And if he goes out and wins the thing, people are going to be like, Buddy, what the hell have you been doing for the last 2 months?
Chavano, that's a guy that's really hard to rag on, because, again, I've never interviewed him. I don't know him, certainly, but he just seems like a nice human being.
No, I think he's pretty cool. I think the team loves him. But although there was one pass that I think, I forget if it was Draymond or Curry threw out of bounds.
I saw that.
Chavano!
Yeah.
Where are you supposed to be?
It's Curry.
Yeah, Steph. Don't piss off 30.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't bite the hand that feeds you. Yeah, Chavano's a, I think he gets a bad rap, but this is kind of the same
they do
story as wherever he's been.
They do need it, a shooter. And so, I don't know, could Pajemski continue on this trend? I mean, Pajemski.
He's fine. He's a good player. But we did this before at the beginning of the season and last year. He plays a lot. And then you recognize that he's not a starting caliber shooting guard. And I think that, unfortunately, he's in a tough spot. Like, not that he's going to fail. I think he's going to get better. But there's going to be some games where you're like, what is he doing out there? And it's because there's no one else left to play. It's him or Chavano.
But I've said that. I haven't said that nearly as frequently over the last month. He actually looks like the number two. So I think the one thing that you have to keep in mind with Pajemski is that he's still learning his way. We still don't know who the hell he is at the end of the day in terms of what sort of basketball player he's going to be. I mean, he has been sort of the typical first 2 years in the NBA. Comes onto the scene out of nowhere. He's beloved. He's called untouchable over the offseason, and then he sucks in the first part of the season, and now he's playing well again. I mean, this is sort of the ebb and flow and the roller coaster of a young basketball player who's trying to find their footing. So the jury's still out, I think, in terms of who he is. We're going to have to be a little patient before we label this guy. But I think his shooting, it's all confidence, right? And I really think that Jimmy Butler's addition means a lot of things, and we've discussed the majority of which, but I think that bringing out the best of players like Pajemski as well as Moses Moody, because that's exactly who Butler is. It's about energy, and it's about, it's about those making the basketball plays and hustle.
Well, if there is one attribute that Brandon Pajemski does not lack, it is confidence. So I'm not worried about that. But what I am worried about is why I thought he struggled this season early is because he was trying to do too much, or maybe he was asked to do too much. And I'm worried that it's going to fall back into that category as opposed to where he was before, where, like, in January, coming off the bench, 58% from the floor, 45% from three. Already in seven games in February, three of them starts, he's back below 30% from three. So, and he does things that help you elsewhere. Like, I think he's a really good rebounder for his size. He's a good connector, generally makes the right decision with the ball. But when you're reliant on Brandon Pajemski, I'm just saying it might come back to bite you. And that's why I also think the Warriors are better equipped now maybe to handle him playing the starting two, is because they aren't going to have to rely on him as much.
Yeah, the reliant word now is softened a bit.
Yeah.
Right? The reliant is not necessarily you don't need him to do as much, but him making those basketball plays and being the guy that gets onto the floor along with Jimmy Butler in terms of those 50-50 balls, I mean, that's sort of the new identity of this team. All right, we continue to talk about the addition to Jimmy Butler. I do want to revisit Rocky and I'm all about it now. That's right. We're renaming what are these guys called?
The Rising Stars. Also, I hate to break it to you, Dan, but what? We're done.
Oh, that's the end of the show.
Oh, yeah. Not 9 to noon every Saturday. Warriors this week.
I'm new to this.
We're having so much fun.
All right. To be continued at a bar tonight, between you and I.
I'll see you there.
That's right. What the hell am I doing? I'm teasing the next break, and we're out of here.
Well, you'll be back tomorrow, I think, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm doing a pregame show tomorrow. 95.7 The Game is where you want to keep it, and we will see you at the bar tonight. All right? That's the tea. Say goodbye, Ev. So long, everybody.
Take it easy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.